We are beginning a new three-week sermon series this week, and I am excited to be with you. My name is Dan. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we are starting a series called Joy, and just real simple, Joy. And we've tagged it with this idea of the abundant life, joy, the abundant life. Life to the full, the abundant life. Everybody wants it, and Jesus is offering it, and yet so few seem to be living it. Would you not agree? How is it that all of us who have a relationship with Jesus have access to abundant joy, and yet if we did some honest temperature taking in this room, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not, so don't out yourself, but if I were to ask you to raise your hands, do you feel like you live your life with abundant joy? I bet you we would not be surprised by how few hands go up. I think you'll agree, right? If I were to reach into my pocket and pull out my cell phone, what would I see? I would scroll and I would swipe and find that everybody else has everything that I want. I would find that everyone seems to be all smiles and no tears. Amazon would tell me I need to buy this thing to satisfy that insatiable craving for more in my life. Please somebody say amen right now, right? Okay, good. I'm just glad we're on the same page. Maybe I was just a confessional. Netflix would tell me that I have to escape and numb myself from the feeling that I have. The news, right? Don't even get me started. Another shooting this week at a San Diego synagogue in a residential area that had me sick to my stomach. And the weather even, right? The global warming is a real thing. What happened to spring? Am I right? We skipped spring. It is hot. Meanwhile, I'm sitting on my couch in a house that never feels big enough, with kids that never feel well-behaved enough, checking the balance of a bank account that never feels full enough, waiting for something good to happen in my life because I've had enough of not having enough. Am I alone or are you with me? It's exhausting. It's draining. It's depressing. Teddy Roosevelt said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And in a lot of ways, I think he is right. It's so easy here in 2019, right, to have the joy just absolutely sucked out of our lives. And so this week, I think it will be helpful for each of us to take a hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves one very simple question. You ready for the simple question we all need to ask ourselves this morning? Who or what stole our joy? Who or what stole our joy? Or in some cases, who did we just give it away to, right? Because maybe somebody didn't take it from us. Maybe something just, we gave it to that thing. Honestly, all of us are searching for that feeling to one degree or another. We're all searching for that feeling of joy. And truth be told, if we can all just step into a giant confessional booth for a moment, my suspicion is that most of the time our focus is on the wrong source of a joy-filled life. Let me elaborate for a moment. The Bible, this book, defines life. It's defined by God as a relationship with him. 1 John 5:12 says, "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." He who has the Son has what?
Life.
And he who does not have the Son of God does not have? Good. Most people miss the abundant life that Jesus offers because they settle for the counterfeits that steal, kill, and destroy, Scripture says. Most of us have access to this, but we allow counterfeits to steal it. Let me show you what I mean. There's a story that John, one of Jesus' brothers, tells us in Scripture. Just real quick, personally, for a second. In my own daily devotional time with God, I have been camping out in John's letters, in John's gospel. I have been reading them on cycle, like a record player. I've just been reading them over and over and over again because he writes with this rhetoric of love and symbolism that I have just found rich. Normally, it's been the gospel that I've been most afraid of because it's the least concrete. It doesn't have the most details like Luke. Luke's a doctor. He's like gets all the facts down. I like that kind of system and structure. John is like poetic. Scary for me. But I've forced myself to jump into John lately, and I'm happy to report that this love rhetoric has started to tweak my heart. It started to massage my heart and change my heart. The Word of God has that power. Amen? So this next 3 weeks, actually, most of our core scriptures are going to be coming from John's writing. And I love that. We're going to camp out in John for the next 3 weeks. Does that sound good? The love rhetoric of John. Amen? So let me show you what I mean. There's this story that John tells where he's addressing some religious leaders, some Pharisees, that are, if you were to read John chapter 9, you'd see they are totally missing the point of a kingdom mindset. They're totally missing the point. Jesus refers to them as blind, as guilty. It's quite a like down with the man type of passage. It really is. And then Jesus, in chapter 10, tells a parable, which is a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's the definition of a parable. I love that definition. It's an illustrative story with real life things that has an eternal kingdom oriented meaning. So Jesus tells a parable to the Pharisees in John chapter 10 that has, I believe, huge implications for us who maybe have a view of life that lacks a kingdom abundance mentality. So we're going to be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. You can check it out in your Bible if you'd like, or you can follow along with me on the screens. Let me read this to you. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, religious leaders, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Imagine that. Verse 7, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, that's like for emphasis added, that's an exclamation point, underline, bold, italics in your email. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said that we may have life and have it to the full. Life the way God intended it to be, experienced in the joy of relationship with him. This series is designed to help us better understand the abundant life that Jesus offers and to live in the daily joy of a relationship with him. This kind of life transforms us. It shines the light of Jesus into dark places around us. And it brings hope, it brings meaning, it brings purpose to everything we do. If your life feels like it lacks hope or lacks purpose or lacks meaning, this is a sermon series for you. Don't miss a week. And it begins with us doing something about that missing joy that I was talking about earlier. Who or what robbed us of that? So grab your listening guide, because your first fill in the blank is coming up real fast. The big idea this morning is good news. You ready for some good news, church? We can recover our stolen joy. Write it in. We can recover our stolen joy. There is a path to recovering our stolen joy. You want to know the secret? According to this parable, choose to be a sheep, not a shepherd. Choose to be a sheep, not a shepherd. Let me explain this. Sheep are held. Sheep are led to what they need to survive. Sheep, when they're in danger, are rescued. Sheep are cared for. Shepherds carry the burden of those things, the stress of those things. Shepherds carry the anxiety of the what if, the fear of the unknown. Sheep participate. Sheep just get to live. they have an abundant life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. They don't have anything they want because they have everything they need. Choose to be a sheep, not a shepherd. There are some major perks we're going to talk about this morning to living with the abundant life mindset of a sheep. And that's what this parable speaks to. Are you ready for them? First, next fill in the blank. Abundance opposes my anonymity. Abundance opposes my anonymity. What do I mean by that? Good question. Thank you, Dan. Sheep are known by their shepherd. Now, let me just tell you, a fundamental need each one of you and I have is to be known by somebody, to be accepted by somebody, right? Something. And when we don't get it from people, oftentimes we run to what? Substances, we run to computer screens, we run to devices, we run to something that won't tell us no, that won't tell us something difficult. We run to comfort. Because we just want to be known and we want to be accepted the way that we are, right? That's like a normal human function, need to be known. Now look at verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What a shepherd does. Leads them by name. Calls them out by name. Honestly, if I could just be totally honest with you for a second, this is the thing that undid me. That absolutely undid me when I was a teenager and was learning about Jesus. Wait, you mean to tell me that there is something in the universe that's not a rock, that's not sand, that's not some inanimate object. There is something in the universe that would actually know me inside and outside, that would know every thought I have, good, bad, or indifferent, that would know every action I've ever done. There's something in the universe that would actually know me, all my junk, every skeleton in my closet, every shadow I've ever cast. There's something that would know me and love me. I mean, when I was a teenager, right? Like, I had parents that loved me. I came from a good home. But even as in a good home as a teenager, you don't feel sometimes like your parents love you. This is that illustration of when you run your hand along the grain of a piece of wood, right? It feels real smooth. But when you go against the grain, what happens? You get stuck by it, right? Our experience sometimes of parents as teenagers or as kids is we're going against the grain and we're getting stuck by it. When we're going with the grain, it's nice and smooth, right? And so sometimes you don't feel like the wood is very happy with you because it keeps sticking you. Really? But you're just going about it the wrong way, right? If a parent could just tell the kid, you're just going about it the wrong way. And so there's consequences and your experience may not be all sunshine and butterflies. And so as a teenager, to find out that there was somebody, something that would love me and know me, it undid me. It made me want that thing. Maybe you've had that experience. It's kind of the like junior high dating phenomenon, right? Girl or guy finds out that XYZ girl or guy likes them. Well, I like them too, right? They find out that somebody likes them in junior high or high school or something like, sorry if you're a junior high in here and I'm ratting you out, right? But you find out somebody has a crush on you and you immediately go, well, I have a crush on them too. Because you feel like somebody wants you and likes you, you immediately run towards that thing. That's how it was with me and Jesus, except it stuck. It wasn't one of those junior high dating relationships. Sorry. It is natural when you know someone that you care about them. You meet their needs and you protect them. It's natural. And I mean not just like, no, I know Justin. I mean like you really know them at their deepest level. When you really know somebody, right? Two things that you do. You meet their needs and you protect them. So your next fill in the blank. Abundance lets me be content. And what I mean by content is it lets me be provided for. It lets me be content with what I have because it's being provided for me. Look at verse 4. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They just keep following. In verse 9, if you were to look at verse 9, it's not going to go up on the screen, but verse 9 says that they go out to pasture. They follow him out to pasture. They don't have to hunt their own food. Their needs are met by the shepherd because the shepherd knows the sheep and knows what they need. And so they get to be content, not wanting anything because it's handed to them. The second thing, right? Abundance lets me be protected. It lets me be content and it lets me be protected. This is all part of that first fill in the blank, right? These are kind of sub points. When you are known, when your anonymity is opposed, when you are known, you are provided for. You get to be content. Look at verse 5. It says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. The danger that is out there, you're protected from because you become familiar with the safe voice in your life. Verse 9 says, Jesus is the gate. Let me explain to you about Jesus being a gate. It's a two-way system. Sometimes we think about the gate stops us from getting into where we need to be or whatever. It's two ways. I have kids. They play in the backyard all the time. And the reason I can let them play in the backyard, and our backyard's kind of an L shape, and so you can't see the whole yard from where the door is to the backyard. I'll let them play around the corner now. They're at that age where they can do that, and they don't usually come running with blood. And usually, I have three boys, okay? And so they'll be around the corner, and I could trust them to be safe around the corner where I can't see them fully because there's a gate stopping them from getting out of the backyard because there's great danger once they're out of the backyard, right? There's cars. There's the neighborhood dog, which is sometimes my dog. It's out, right? But there's dangerous things on the other side of that gate. Likewise, it keeps things that shouldn't be in my backyard out of my backyard, right? Two-way street. Abundance, a life with Jesus, lets me be protected and it holds me where I need to be. Tracking with me? Abundance sounds good so far, right? Next fill in the blank. Abundance changes my angle. It changes my angle. This is the verse 7 fill in the blank. Abundance changes my angle. The Pharisees could not see what he was talking about in verse 7. That was that part of the verse where I said the Pharisees didn't understand, so he had to say it again. They didn't understand, so therefore Jesus said again. When you move into an abundance mindset, your angle of your view, it starts to shift. It starts to move. Now you can see why being a sheep is better than being your own shepherd because you've experienced what that's like. Because honestly, if every one of us were to be left to our natural sin-engorged desires, we would choose to be shepherds. I'll protect. I'll provide. I'll fill my bank account with more dollar signs and my driveway with nicer cars. I'll fulfill myself because I have the power. And Jesus looks at that mentality and says, child, you don't know what you don't know. You need a different angle to see things through. We have a minivan in my family. And as my son was learning how to get in the van himself and buckle his own car seat, he would go running up to the van, not in the parking lot, but in a driveway. It was safe, people. Relax. And so he would go running up to the van, and for the longest time, we have one of those button things that opens the doors automatically. For the longest time, he would get up to the van and he would say, hocus pocus or abracadabra or whatever Mickey Mouse magic words they teach you on the Disney Channel, right? And for the longest time, no matter where we were, we'd click the button and the doors would start to open. And he thought for sure he was in control. That he had all the power in the universe, right? I can open it, I can close it. He could do it from the back seat. He had no idea there was a magic button in my pocket that was pulling the strings. He had no idea what he did not know. He didn't possess the power. And the truth of the matter is you and I don't either. Every breath in your lung is a gift. Every dollar you've ever earned, you might feel like you're entitled to more. It's a gift. Every broken down car you've ever driven, it was a gift. Abundance leads me accurately. Your last fill in the blank. Excuse me. Abundance leads me accurately. Here's what I mean. Look at verse 8. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. There are thieves and robbers. They have jumped the gate. They have jumped the fence. There is temptation around. Things that can disrupt the abundant life of the sheep. But the sheep don't listen to those things because they know who their shepherd is. They are led accurately. Sheep who know they are sheep and know that they are known and known that they are provided for and known that they are protected, they know what they know. And they don't waver from that. In fact, I am convinced, if God, instead of putting Adam and Eve in the garden, had put a couple of sheep in the garden, the tree would still have all its fruit. Because they know what they know, and they don't waver. Do you, Christ followers, people who want to be sheepy, I just made that up, sheepy, do you know what you know? Do you know that you're protected? Do you know that you get to be content? Do you know those things? Or do you want to take hold of the power and say, I actually want to be the shepherd? And isn't this true? Your ability, our ability to sniff out temptation, and I don't just mean like murder, although that's probably a big one. I mean like greed. I mean like idolatry. I mean like lust. I mean anger, those types of sins that we're tempted towards. Our ability to sniff those out preemptively. Yes, we need forgiveness from those things when we do them. But the real thing of becoming more like Jesus, being transformed in him, is that I see the hurdle coming and I actually react the way that Jesus would react to that thing and I avoid the sin altogether, right? Is that, we're all on the same page. It's called discipleship. Yes. Okay, good. Okay, so my ability to sniff out temptation, to sniff out the hurdle, to sniff out the opportunities for my cup to get bumped. You've heard that illustration on the stage before. My ability to sniff that out is directly correlated to how well I know the shepherd. Because the more you live into the truth of who you are, the more you can look the enemy in the eyes and say, not today, Satan. I know who the shepherd is, and you are a robber, and you are robbing my joy. Get out of the pen. You actually possess the ability to do that with the things in your life that could steal your joy. And because I love you, and I believe this for you, let me just remind you for a moment of who you are. You are more than conquerors, the Bible says. You are co-heirs with the King of Kings. You are sons and daughters of a perfect daddy. He loves you to death so you don't have to die. You were in his mind before the earth was formed. You were on his heart when he carried his own cross to Calvary. You are the single most desired and loved person in this room sitting in your seat. And that is true of the person sitting next to you in their seat also. You have access, I have access to the God of the universe who makes the whole earth spin and float in the palm of his hand, who could breathe life into dust. You have access to that God. And Psalm 16:11 tells us that you've made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't want to skip that middle line. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. You have access to the presence of God. So, your big takeaway. Sustainable joy. This is like the key. This is the truth. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Okay, you ready? Sustainable joy is found in presence with the God of the universe. Real joy, not temporary Amazon, Netflix joy. Real sustainable joy is found in presence with the God who loves you, who knows you. The one who overcame the power of the grave. We sang it. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is offering abundant life to everybody. And it has nothing to do with the amount of money you make, or the health that you have, or the things that you possess. We think abundance, right? And if you talk to people who don't have much, they think the answer to the hole inside of them is, I just need more. But if you talk to people who have a lot, they still are after more. More, more, more. And they're just a hamster on a wheel trying to get a carrot. It has nothing, abundant life has nothing to do with how much you have. It really doesn't. But the question is, and what we've been talking about, is how do we then reclaim our joy if the answer is not get more stuff that makes me happy? How do we reclaim that stolen joy? I told you at the beginning, we have good news. We can reclaim our stolen joy. How do we do that? I told you the key at the very beginning, but I want to remind you of it again, and I want to go a step further. I already said, right? Be a sheep, not a shepherd. I gave a lot of reasons why being a shepherd is an abundant way to live, or being a sheep is an abundant way to live, right? Now, take that a step further. A specific call to action. Jesus tells us that it's not enough to just be a sheep and not a shepherd, but it's actually recognizing Jesus as our shepherd that is the key. It's not enough to just say, I want to be a sheep. You have to have a shepherd. You have to know who your shepherd is. Become ever familiar with his voice. Even this week, maybe you need to start. Maybe you need to do what I did. I'm just camping out in the Gospel of John. I don't know when I'm going to be done. I'll just read it on cycle for maybe 6 months. I have no idea. Maybe you need to start reading scripture in cycle. Just camp out in the same passage. Don't read it to get through it, right? Read it to let it soak and marinate. Start with chapter 1 and spend time drenching your soul in God's word. If you drive a lot or you go to the gym, maybe you need to start listening to a constructive, soul-nurturing podcast. Something on your phone that doesn't pollute your mind but actually buoys your spirit. You could take advantage of Space for God. Eric mentioned it during the announcement time. It's a half day on a Saturday dedicated to nurturing your soul. You can literally sign up for that, register for that on the Church Center app in less than a minute. It's free. There's no cost. Do something like that that buoys your spirit because you're getting to know the shepherd's voice more intimately. Take steps this week. This week. Don't put it off till summer. This week to cultivate deeper closeness with the shepherd. And if you find yourself in a place where maybe you've tasted and you've seen that cultivating that closeness actually is the path to abundant joy, a joy-filled life that is marked by abundance, if you've tasted that and you're just like, you know what? I know that that's true. I know what Dan said is true. And it's just elusive. It feels like it's trying to like pin something, like catch a fly with chopsticks or something like that. It just feels elusive. We can help. We really can here at Monta Vista. We try and run into Jesus every single Sunday. Every single Wednesday night, our children and youth, we try and run them into Jesus. And we have some intentional processes that we have in place to help you run into Jesus, to cultivate closeness with Jesus. One of them I want to put on blast for you. And if you're ready to go into a deeper and more intentional way of pursuing and cultivating this relationship is the journey. You've heard it talked about on this stage a bunch of times. Right now, there's a group of 75 people going through an intentional process of cultivating closeness with God. We call it spiritual formation. Registration for that ends at the end of May. It costs $250 and it starts in October. And it's a year-long process where we help give you all the tools that we have at our disposal, all of them. We entrust those to you, teach you how to use them, hold it in community, which we've found is critical to this whole process, right? You can't do it by yourself. And it holds you in place where you can actually move in the direction of knowing the shepherd's voice. Not just saying Jesus is my Lord, but actually trusting him as the captain of the ship. Relinquishing control of your life. Doesn't that sound like, you mean I don't have to be the one that does all the things, that holds all the power? I can actually give the keys to that car to the God of the universe? It is good. And the benefit of understanding the shepherd's voice, of being able to hear the shepherd's voice and trusting the shepherd's voice and what he does for us as his sheep, is that our life gets to become marked with joy. Have you ever seen an unhappy sheep? Bah. How you doing today? Bah. Same every single day. I'm fat. I got everything I need. Bah. They understand abundant life. I want to pray for you and I want to give you a blessing. Let's pray together. Jesus, it is only by your grace, by your cross, that we are able, Father, to know what joy abundant looks like. Not this wishy-washy, comes and goes joy that we get with a shot of whatever it is that we do, Father, to medicate ourselves when we don't have joy. God, sustainable joy is found in a relationship with you. You are the supply that never runs out. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You always were and always will be, God. And you love us. You know us and you love us. And so, Father, I pray for this congregation, that we would know your voice, that we'd be able to hear your whispers like a shout, that when you speak, God, we are attentive because you are the abundant provider. You are the source of life. You are the one who takes broken things and makes them new. You are the one who converts ashes into beauty. You are the one who can do that, God. You have the power, and we are your sheep. We worship you. We worship you. Because even with all of our warts and messed upness, you still let us be your sheep. In fact, you love that we are your sheep. What a blast. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for the parting blessing? Parting blessing is taken from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. May you consider it pure joy. We'll be looking at it two more weeks. Don't miss one of them. May you consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And may you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And may you let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, because you are provided for as sheep. And may that abundance be ever so clear in your life now and forevermore. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.